Here we are
once again. Such a pleasure, such a delight, even in light of the fact that it's such a great responsibility to bring to you the Word of God. Oh, how I pray and have prayed that God will bless us, bless you and bless me as we look into the Word of God. Today, we want to deal with the living God. The living God. When I was a young man, actually at the age of 21, there was an extremely controversial statement being made that definitely affected the Western world. That statement was, God is dead. Time magazine, in April of 1966, had on its cover this title. It was a question. Is God dead? Now, behind that, it was not only what was going on in America at that time, but it was looking back to a statement made in an article written in 1888 by Friedrich Nietzsche, a German atheist, who point blank said, God is dead. Now, in 1966, at that time, God was in none of my thoughts. So I paid little attention to such statements. And when I think about such statements, I can remember John Lennon of the Beatles making the statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. I don't believe he said that derogatorily. He just felt that that was the case. The Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ. As I said, I really didn't give that much thought. Nonetheless, it was a subject covered by the American news media, and such ideas were sweeping throughout the Western world. And when I say that, I'm talking about the United States of America and Europe. Not long after that, wonder of wonders, God saved me. From that point on, God has shown me exceedingly abundantly that He is the living God. As 1 Thessalonians 1:9 declares, He is, and according to the literal text, He is God, living and true. Again, if you go to the literal text, that's exactly what it says. God, living and true. Living is a verb in that text, a present participle, denoting present and continuous action. True is an adjective describing God in His reality. The word true meaning real. So when we put that together, God living and true, God is always alive and absolutely real. As God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and I'll quote this, read it. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God is presently in the past. God is presently in the present. God is presently in the future. I don't understand that. But God inhabits eternity. God always is. God is always. He is the living God, eternally living. As I just said, he inhabits eternity with his life. In Matthew 16:16, Peter declared the God's truth concerning Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Philippians 2:6. Christ Jesus, who existing in God's nature, considered it not robbery to be equal with God. This Christ, and according to John chapter 1, this Christ, who is the Word, who is God. Again, John 1:1. Now that being true, and it is, Christ could and did say of himself, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham existed, I am. John 8:58. In his divinity, Christ always was, always is, and always will be. In his humanity, he came in the fullness of time and could say of himself, according again to a more literal rendition of Revelation 1:17-18, Christ said, I am the first and the last and the one living. And I was dead. And behold, I am living unto the ages of the ages, which is translated forever. Now we're going to be using this scripture several times in this message. The eternally living Son of God became a human being supernaturally in time when he was conceived in the womb of the virgin female Mary. That conception was brought about by the Holy Spirit of God, as Mary had no contact with any human man. The eternal Son of God entered the realm of time as a human being. And as all humanity dies physically, so Jesus died in his humanity as the substitute for the sins of all human beings predestinated to be conformed to his perfect image. He was a perfect human being. In his divinity as the living God, he carried one of the men crucified with him into paradise, while at the same time he was present with his humanity in hell, because as the living God, he is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time, and eternally. Folks, that is God. Because God became a man in time and died as the one and only perfect human being, he could say, as the Son of humanity, the Son of Man, and the eternal Son of God, who was resurrected from death in his humanity, we go back to that scripture, he could say this: I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am living unto the ages of the ages, forever. Because Christ, in his humanity, was raised from the dead, those human beings united to him will live together with him forever. Thanks be to God, in the new birth, we who are Christians were made alive together with this Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 9 and 10 records this: For God did not appoint us unto wrath, us, the elect, the chosen of God. For God did not appoint us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. This next verse, please listen to this next verse. How I pray that God, by his Spirit, will reveal this verse to you today, if he hasn't already done so. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he, speaking of Christ, for though Christ was crucified in weakness, as a human being, Christ could die. Yet he lives by the power of God. That speaks of his divinity. Crucified in weakness in his humanity, living by the power of God in his divinity. For we also are weak in him. In our shared humanity with Jesus Christ. But we shall live with him again by the power of God toward you. Humanity and divinity. Christ's, and I believe this to be absolutely true, Christ's pre-incarnate appearance as Melchizedek clearly attests to Christ as the ever-living God. It's so clear. I do not see how people miss this. Hebrews 6:15, of Melchizedek, the Holy Scripture says, who has come, Melchizedek, who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. Folks, what does that mean? Speaking of the divinity of Jesus Christ that never, ever dies. This is an eternal living God who does not die. He never has been dead, nor will he ever die. He is endless life. Of himself, of course, the Lord God says, I do not change. I am who I am. Again, folks, he is always presently alive. Whether it's in the past, whether it's presently, or whether it's in the future. I know that doesn't sound sensible, but it's the truth. I want to look at 1 John 5:20. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, please. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, folks, you can't turn that whatever way you want it to go. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is the true God. Period. God became flesh. God became human. That flesh, that humanity, died for that particular humanity, the elect, that God chose in eternity. God has promised to give these people eternal life. Peter puts it this way. I'm going to read the first four verses of 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Folks, the faith that you believe into Christ with today was given to you in the new birth by the one true God. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, listen now, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature. Friends, we will never be God, but we will live sinlessly forever together with the ever-living God. The divine nature here, primarily meaning living sinlessly forever, which is a perfect worship of God. Think about that. But what of today? What of this day and our relationship with the living God? Please be careful, as I must be very careful in my profession to be a Christian. So many profess with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10 now. Hebrews chapter 10. Going to be reading verses 30 and 31. For we know him who said, this is saying we know God, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The living God. Thanks be to God. But for the true Holy Spirit-led people of God, that Spirit is as living water springing up into everlasting life. It never runs dry. Jesus Christ gives this living water in the person of his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. And out of the hearts of the people in which that Spirit flows, flow rivers of living water. John 7, verse 38. The Spirit of God, who is life, we saw that in the book of Romans last week, I believe. The Spirit of God, who is life, as is Christ, as is the Father, is an inexhaustible source of the life of God, as pictured in rivers of living water. Now that life, that very life, is seen in the fruit of the Spirit, which flows from those of us who are indwelt with the living and by the living God. As the Spirit of God lives inside us, God exhorts us to be mindful of the truth that we are a temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It is this very living God who lives within us in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, who bears witness with our human spirit that we are the children of the living God. Romans 8:16. Now that statement right there is by far that scripture right there is by far the greatest and most convincing witness, because it takes place in our very own inner being. You know, it's rather impossible for you to convince anybody that you are indwelt by the living God. That witness is within you. Hopefully, they see that fruit of the Spirit and realize there's something that is different, certainly, about your behavior. This most convincing witness within us, this eternal living Spirit of Christ, comforts our hearts and minds with the assurance that we are God's human children. And this is an eternal truth. I've gained much comfort from that very verse, that the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit, because it's a reality within me. I relate to that very, very deeply. The God most people of all religions recognize today is a figment of their imagination, an idea, a picture in their own minds. And so often that God is made in their image, or is like what they think God should be. God should be an object that won't interfere with what they want to do. Oh, Christian, be careful of a vain imagination. The last thing that they want is a living God who is sovereign, almighty, all-knowing, everywhere present at all times, can see everything you're doing wherever you are. A just and righteous God who demands absolutely perfect behavior or an eternal condemnation from falling short of that requirement. But thanks be to this one and only living God, who in the person of the eternal Son of God became a human being, and absolutely perfect life did he live. Again, a human being that lived an absolutely perfect human life, fulfilling the requirement made by God upon humanity. And this Christ, this perfect human being, offered that perfect human life as a sacrifice for those people God the Father gave to him. He took their sins and gave them his perfect humanity. God the Father resurrected the humanity of his Son, glorifying Christ with the glory Christ had before the world existed. Look at John 17. You'll see that. The elect people of God are made alive together with this Christ, with this resurrected Christ, who is the one living and was dead and is living forevermore. He was raised from the dead in his humanity to live evermore. So we are raised from the dead spiritually in the new birth to live with Christ forever. As he conquered death in the resurrection of his humanity to live forever, so we conquer the second death spiritually because we were made alive together with him in the resurrection of the new birth. Christ's divinity never died. And now his humanity lives forever by the power of God. This is the God-man. A perfect God and a perfect man. The grave could not hold his humanity because of his divinity. There is absolutely no one like this Jesus Christ. And folks, Christ has a bride, his church. Ephesians chapter 5, Revelation 21. This church is his body, figuratively speaking. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He built his church. He called her my church. Matthew chapter 16. And folks, that church is not a building. That church is a people. That church is the people Jesus came to save from their sins. Matthew chapter 1. As 1 Timothy 3:15 says, the church of the living God. The church of the living God. I have some questions to close with. As a professing Christian, which church do you belong to? A church allowing you to follow your own vain imaginations? I hope you're confronted with the truth about that. A church teaching a different and contrary gospel to the true gospel? God will reveal that. A church steeped in the traditions of mankind? My goodness. Is that not the case in so many places in America today? There is only one true church made up only of the true people of God. That is the church of the living God. Amen.